I'd like you to open up in your Bibles, if you have them, to Philippians chapter 4. Well, it's seasonal. Thanksgiving. I don't think it was entirely intentional when I laid out the series of messages that we've been bringing about Paul's secrets. Really, it's his secrets of happiness, his secrets of effectiveness in life. It wasn't really on my mind to have the message about Thanksgiving hit on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, but it did. So when I laid it out and it did, I felt like doubly assured that that might be God speaking to us. And so I want to lead you through the Word of God. And as I do so, I've had a few thoughts really holding my mind over the past few days. And that is how often we look at the Word of God and we jump between what we would consider to be highlights in various ways. Everything that is in the Word of God is therefore our benefit. Everything in the Word of God has usefulness for us in our lives. And if you are one of those believers who has memorized like 25 verses, that's good. That's 25 more than some. But if you have like 25 verses, you might really not have a sense of the holiness of the Word of God. And the thing that I see increasingly, the older I get, the more plainly I see it. When it comes to the Christian life, you got to do all of it. You can't pick and choose and say, well, there are some parts of the Christian life that I like and there are some other parts, you know, it's kind of optional and I'll set that aside. And I don't see any need of getting all up in arms about it. The fact is that it's much more like a complex system and web of truths and beliefs and lifestyles that when you embrace in its holiness, it absolutely works. And I felt for a long time that I could give people a money-back guarantee. If you really live the life the way God lays it out in His Word, you will not be disappointed. If you truly live all of the Christian life, you're going to have a well-balanced life. You're not going to be a lunatic. You're not going to be crazy. You're going to be solid, stable, sound, joyful, loving, all of the things that you want to be. You'll find that God will give you the ability to become what you want to be. I had a person a few years ago now make a comment to me talking about an individual that we both knew. He said, well, you know, I pray that God will help him become the person that he wants to be. And I think that would be a wonderful thing, provided you want to be the right kind of person. How many of you have an idea in your mind, an ideal, if you will, of what it would be like if you could be just the strongest, greatest Christian that it would be possible to be? Do you have a mental picture of that? Let's approach it a different way. How many of you have specifically studied the life of Jesus? Well, that's what you'd look like. You'd look a whole lot like Jesus. And that would be a wonderful, wonderful thing if we had all of us walking around, not only at the church, but through the community, really living as Jesus lived. I believe that we would find ourselves not only feeling great joy and great satisfaction, but having a tremendous influence and impact in the lives of others. Do you believe that? So God has given us some things in his word that are very instructive. And some of them, you probably, like me, find easier than others. There are some things in the Word of God that I will confess. I look at, and just looking at them through human eyes, I wonder if it's even possible. Is there anything in the Word of God like that for you? Things that you wonder, how on earth would I ever do that? How on earth would I ever attain that? How could I ever aspire to that? Because it almost feels as if it would be out of reach. And this passage touches on some of that. Now, I understand that Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. And lest a swarm of you ask me what I will be doing for Thanksgiving Day, I'll be at Cracker Barrel in Buffalo, feeding my son, my daughter-in-law, my grandson, and a friend of my son's. That's the game plan, at least. And I see some of you, you're looking like, oh, that's terrible. You won't be baking a turkey? Linda thinks, that's wonderful. I won't be baking a turkey in a strange kitchen. Thanksgiving Day focuses our minds. And typically, people find themselves thinking, okay. God wants me to be thankful. He wants me to enter into Thanksgiving. What do I have to be thankful for? Now, it's interesting to me that coming up to Thanksgiving, we can always come up with a list. A lot of the rest of the year, we struggle. We're kind of absorbed with whatever hardships we have and difficulties we have. And frankly, there are times throughout the year that probably if I were to ask you, okay, what are you thankful for today? Because sometimes people look like they're drowning, you know, in negativity. What are you thankful for today? Sometimes you'd go, I don't know. I'd have to really think about that. But God speaks to us, and he uses the very word of thanksgiving. Philippians 4, beginning of verse 4. And I'll just draw attention one way or another to the things I think might be difficult in the passage. Rejoice in the Lord always. I think that might be kind of difficult. What about you? Rejoice. Oh, cool. Always. Always? What do you mean, Lord, by always? You don't mean every single time. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise that he closes with in that passage. So here are a few observations, beginning in verse 4. If we are to always be rejoicing, there must be a constant that makes that rejoicing possible. I mean, if you looked at life like a mathematical equation, and you always had to get the same answer, there'd have to be something within that equation that would lead you to the same answer. And the same answer in this situation is rejoicing. Well, it must not be contingent on having always the best circumstance, because you don't always have the best circumstance. There are times that your circumstances are all messed up. All you have to do is have an honest conversation with a few people, and you'll realize that there are a lot of people having a lot of difficulties. How many of you knew that? Just in the past week. Now, Tammy, is it okay if I share a couple of things carefully? Okay, a week ago Friday, I got home for lunch, began to eat a sandwich, got a phone call from Melanie at the office where I just left, and she said, Tammy is in town and her truck won't start. She had an appointment with an attorney, and it was about a block away from me. Set the sandwich down, and by the time I headed toward the back door to get into my green Saturn, my 2003 green Saturn, my dream machine, Alex was about to knock on the back door. He'd cut cross country. He was already there. So I tossed in the jumper cables. I wasn't thinking too far ahead, or I would have realized a Saturn will not probably start a great big pickup truck. But I was game to try. So we went, and there was Tammy, and I felt terrible for you, Tammy. And what are we going to do? Those jumper cables, we never had a chance. No, it wasn't going to turn it over, and so on. I walked across the street to Ringgold, and there at Ringgold, I prevailed upon the guy to maybe take a look and give us a little bit of help. He was eating his sandwich. He explained that he needed lunch. I explained that I did too. But that we had a gal there who had just recently lost her husband, who was having a very difficult time, and is there any way that you can go the extra mile? And so he did. New battery, new alternator, good to go. As I understand it, he drove the truck out to Tammy's place, and it's not that far away. It's like 2.8 miles or something like that. So he drove the truck out, and by the time he got there, it was dying already again. Well, he put in a battery first. Oh, alternator. So they put in an alternator. Now it's good to go. And I'm thinking, well, praise God, we got Tammy all squared away. And I was feeling very good about that. And then I got the word that both vehicles were down. Tammy's truck was down. Alex has a Crown Victoria. It's powerful. It is a former cop car. You know, cop shocks, cop brakes. And apparently the radiator fluid was all out of that. Had to have a leak somewhere. Okay. Scott Forcione got all excited. I don't believe Scott's here today. How many of you knew that Scott was a passionate guy? Everything he does with passion. He found out about Tammy's situation Friday morning. Now she doesn't have a vehicle again. And Scott just hopped in an extra car that he has, drove it right over, had me follow him, drops the car off, gives Tammy the keys, tells her, drive it to death, basically, and away he goes. Godsend. She still has to have the truck worked on because now the truck won't start when it's in park. It will only start when it's in neutral. Now, that suggests that a safety switch built into your system probably is bad. So, made an appointment up in Mansville. I drive up behind Tammy and Alex. We sit down at S&R Automotive. We sit down, and let's find out what's going on. Guy comes in. He says, hey, it has a brand new switch. It's probably just a matter of a simple adjustment. makes the adjustment, doesn't charge her a thing. Praise God. And I again think, problem solved. Okay. Tammy thinks, problem solved. Calls Scott, we're done with your car. He picks up the car and goes. She goes back out. Truck won't start again. In park. Problem not solved. How many of you think that Tammy has been through a rough stretch? About as rough as I've seen. And she is supposed to be rejoicing. Don't you think that must be difficult? Don't you think that before you could get your mind around whatever Thanksgiving there is, that you would have to probably work your way through quite a few things and quite a few situations? It must be that it's not about circumstance, because that is the circumstance that God has chosen to allow Tammy to pass through right now. Well, some of you know Judy Castor. How many of you know her? She's been in and out of the hospital for months. I saw Judy Friday morning. And Judy just had gotten the word that the biopsy they thought was clear had come back that she has cancer. And so she's looking to go right straight back into the hospital, probably needing to have surgery done. And her words to me was that she was getting very, very tired of it all. So she needs your prayers. But next Thursday is Thanksgiving for Judy also. And so you might say, what does she have to be thankful for? That's what happens when we tie Thanksgiving to circumstance. There must be something constant that allows us to rejoice in every situation that makes it possible. I don't know about you, but I just assume that God does not command me to do anything he does not make possible. That would be cruel. That would be a form of dishonesty. God, though, commands us to rejoice. The character of Christ, not circumstances, should be the source of our rejoicing, because the character of Christ never changes. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. It has to be the character of Christ. I've noticed something about Jesus. He always loves me. I'd like you to say that with me. That would do you some good. Jesus always loves me. Even right now, he loves you. You may have some people that you could point a finger at and say, I'm not sure they do. You might be able to point a finger at self and say, I'm not sure I love me right now. But Jesus does. Why? It's not circumstance, because he loves all of us. I'm going to say probably some of us in here had a pretty good week, trying to be obedient to God and follow after his will, and probably we have some who didn't have such a good week. Probably we have some that wouldn't like for us to put all of their actions up on the screen overhead. But Jesus loves you. He loves you this Sunday, and he'll love you next Sunday, and he'll love you every day in between. He'll love you tomorrow. Why, again? That's who he is. That is a part of his character. It's a part of his nature. He cannot do anything else because that is who he is, and he must express his actual character all of the time. Now, I want to look at a third thing with you. What on earth in the middle of all this does gentleness have to do with anything? Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I believe it's because a gentle nature is natural when we are experiencing the presence of Christ. Because harsh and unbending spirits are created by fear and anger. Any of you ever experience fear? What does fear do to you? Paralyzes you. Makes you snap. When people are fearful, I see that. They snap at others. You get short-tempered. Pardon? It lies to you. Thanks, Lindy. It's just I'm deaf as well as blind. So it does. Fear lies to you. It distorts your reality. Fear makes some of us aggressive. Fear makes some of us angry. Guys in particular, we can't admit to fear. What? Fear? I got no fear. Linda's laughing at me. She knows the truth. She knows the biggest fear I have is being thought afraid. Because I'm a guy. I can't show fear. I can be scared. I can be fearful. And that can easily turn into like a bad disposition. So when I don't have fear and I don't have anger, it's easy for me to have a gentle spirit. And it is for you too. You may have lived with these things so long that you don't even realize that. You may not even believe that gentleness is possible for you and your spirit because you have been living with that fear and that anger in your life so long. But Jesus can take that away. Anxiety forms in a heart which lacks confidence in God, while thanksgiving is rooted in the expectation of God's provision. I see that in verse 6. Do not be anxious, there he goes, being universal again about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Why would you present them with thanksgiving? Having thankful spirit toward God before you see the answered prayer. Because you know the answer is coming. How? Because you know that God is able. And you know that he is willing. And someone out here probably is thinking, I prayed before and God didn't give me what I wanted. No, he probably in that situation gave you something better than what you wanted. You simply couldn't see it at the time. And so, it all comes back to Jesus. It all comes back to where he is. If he is in the center of our life, or if he is off on the periphery of our life, if Jesus is the cause of our existence, or if he simply is an afterthought in our lives, the peace of God is supernatural, and it defies explanation. Paul indicates that. He said, the peace of God which transcends all understanding. All right, you can't explain it. But you have it. I've asked people that before. How many of you have ever seen a person going through a difficult situation and you found that they had almost an eerie sense of peace about them? And you've wondered, what's up? Somebody mentioned that about Alex. Alex has really shown Christ. And someone mentioned, boy, he seems eerily calm, and maybe wondered if Alex had some post-traumatic stress. That's possible. I think Alex also has a whole lot more of the Holy Spirit in his life than most young people have. He's nodding his head. God is helping him through. God is giving him that peace. And to save you the difficulty, no, it doesn't make any sense at all. Why would a young person have more poise and more stability than someone far older? Because it's coming from God. It's not coming from experience alone. It's not coming from maturity of years alone. It's coming from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, it is possible. With God, all things are possible. And the peace of God is anchored then ultimately in Jesus' love and in his power. His love is always going to be there, but his power is always going to be there as well. And there are times that you and I both get all kind of mixed up and tangled up because we think, well, Lord, if you love me, use your power in the way I think you ought to be using it right now. And he doesn't always choose to. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But when we sit down at Thanksgiving this week and we go through the annual exercise of saying what we are thankful for, I'd like to issue you a challenge. I'd like you in that moment to focus on being thankful for Jesus. Thankful for him. Yes, you're thankful for your job. You're thankful for your marriage. You're thankful for your kids. I haven't heard anyone laugh yet. You're thankful for all of these things that God has poured out. You're thankful for the turkey that you got out of the oven and the dressing, and I'm going to make myself hungry, so I'd better stop. You're thankful for all of that. But the cause of all of that, the provider of all of that, is God. I'm thankful to God. The presence, and this is the final challenge, the presence or absence of thanksgiving in our lives is a pretty accurate spiritual barometer. And there are times that I've wished it was not so. There are times I've not been thankful. And I wish that I could simply point my finger at circumstance. But now I have a better understanding of the possibilities and understanding of what this truly means. And I can't do that. If I'm not thankful, I'm not focused on God. If I'm not thankful, I don't have the tight connection with him that he desires for me to have with him. And so, if I'm not thankful, it's on me, it's not on him. What am I going to do if I'm not thankful? Refocus your life and your vision of life. And get it back on Jesus. He's at the center. He's at the core. He's the candle in the middle of the seven candlesticks, it says in the book of Revelation. He's at the center of all things, and he wants to be at the center of your heart and of your life, not some of the time, all of the time. Will you stand with me? If you're thankful today to God, raise a hand and give him praise. I have known people over the years that have had a complete change of heart and life when they embraced as a value thanksgiving, thanking God all of the time in all things. Heavenly Father, I pray that your nearness and your closeness would just impress itself upon us, that we would understand that no matter what situation that we are passing through, that you have made it possible for us to have joy and peace and thanksgiving in our hearts, because wherever you rule, there is peace. And I pray, Lord, that you would rule in our hearts. I pray if there is anything that comes before you, that right now we would make a deliberate decision to cast it down like the old idol that it is, and to allow you back onto the throne of our life. And I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just give us more of your Spirit's outpouring than we have ever received before. Because, Lord, we acknowledge that living things grow, and we want to be alive in Christ, and that means that we are to be growing in you. I pray you would fill our hearts with joy and hear our words of thanksgiving, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, all together now, while we're still here, still standing, before we flee, I'd like you to think of that one thing right now, one thing that you are thankful for. And then on the count of three, one, two, three, I want to hear it. Amen. We have a lot to be thankful for. Thank you.